Hello, and welcome to the Fighting Moose Podcast. I'm your host and narrator, Jason Hendrickson. This is a podcast where I retell stories, some fictional and some historical, that can be enjoyed by people of all ages. Spring is in the air wherever you look. It seems like the birds are starting to return from their winter migrations, and I feel like there has been an increase in the animal activity around my house, and the weather is getting warmer. It's always nice when the birds start returning. The other day, I cleaned and refilled our bird feeders, and I also loaded up a suet cake. It's always cool to watch the birds when they are chowing on that stuff. So with all this bird talk, I thought I would do a bird story. So today, we read the story, Peter Learns Something About Spooky, from the book, The Burgess Bird Book for Children, written by our old friend, Thornton W. Burgess. As we make our way through the spring season and into summer, hopefully you are getting outside and enjoying the nice weather. Spend some time walking and talking with your loved ones, walk the dog, ride your bike, or just sit and enjoy a nice cup of coffee on the front porch. For me, and hopefully for you too, being out in nature is very rejuvenating, and it's also fun to do. The other day, John and I went tromping through the woods on a whim, and on our trek, we saw deer rubs on trees, hollow trees, woodpecker holes in trees, and tons of deer droppings. It was awesome to just be able to get outside and do that. So, my challenge to you is to get out there, observe the world around you, and see what exciting things you can find. Now, let's turn to today's story. I hope you enjoy. Let's begin.
Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other things. Not because they are easy, but because they are hard.
Peter Learns Something About Spooky. Peter Rabbit likes winter. At least he doesn't mind it so very much, even though he has to really work for a living. Perhaps it is a good thing that he does, for he might grow too fat to keep out of the way of Reddy Fox. You see, when the snow is deep, Peter is forced to eat whatever he can, and very often there isn't much of anything for him but the bark of young trees. It is at such times that Peter gets into mischief, for there is no bark he likes better than that of young fruit trees. Now you know what happens when the bark is taken off all the way around the trunk of a tree. That tree dies. It dies for the simple reason that it is up the inner layer of bark that the life-giving sap travels in the spring and summer. Of course, when a strip of bark has been taken off all the way around near the base of a tree, the sap cannot go up and the tree must die. Now up near the old orchard, Farmer Brown had set out a young orchard. Peter knew all about that young orchard, for he had visited it many times in the summer. Then there had been plenty of sweet clover and other green things to eat, and Peter had never been so much as tempted to sample the bark of those young trees. But now things were very different, and it was very seldom that Peter knew what it was to have a full stomach. He kept thinking of that young orchard. He knew that if he were wise, he would keep away from there. But the more he thought of it, the more it seemed to him that he just must have some of that tender young bark. So just at dusk one evening, Peter started for the young orchard. Peter got there in safety, and his eyes sparkled as he hopped over to the nearest young tree. But when he reached it, Peter had a dreadful disappointment. All around the trunk of that young tree was wire netting. Peter couldn't even get a nibble of that bark. He tried the next tree with no better result. Then he hurried on from tree to tree, always with the same result. You see, Farmer Brown knew all about Peter's liking for the bark of young fruit trees, and he had been wise enough to protect his young orchard. At last, Peter gave up and hopped over to the old orchard. As he passed a certain big tree, he was startled by a voice. "What's the matter, Peter?" said the voice. "You don't look happy." Peter stopped short and stared up in the big apple tree. Look as he would, he couldn't see anybody. Of course, there wasn't a leaf on that tree, and he could see all through it. Peter blinked and felt foolish. He knew that had there been anyone sitting on any one of those branches, he couldn't have helped seeing him. "Don't look so high, Peter. Don't look so high," said the voice with a chuckle. This time it sounded as if it came right out of the trunk of the tree. Peter stared at the trunk and then suddenly laughed right out. Just a few feet above the ground was a good-sized hole in the tree, and poking his head out of it was a funny little fellow with big eyes and a hooked beak. "You certainly did fool me that time, Spooky," cried Peter. "I ought to have recognized your voice, but I didn't." Spooky the Screech Owl, for that is who it was, came out of the hole in the tree, and without a sound from his wings, flew over and perched just above Peter's head. He was a little fellow, not over 8 inches high, but there was no mistaking the family to which he belonged. In fact, he looked very much like a small copy of Hooty the Great Horned Owl, so much so that Peter felt a little cold shiver run over him, although he had nothing in the world to fear from Spooky. His head seemed to be almost as big around as his body, and he seemed to leave no neck at all. He was dressed in bright reddish brown with little streaks and bars of black. Underneath, he was whitish with little streaks and bars of black and brown. On each side of his head was a tuft of feathers. They looked like ears, and some people think they are ears, which is a mistake. His eyes were round and yellow, with a fierce, hungry look in them. His bill was small and almost hidden among the feathers of his face, but it was hooked just like the bill of Hooty. As he settled himself, he turned his head around until he could look squarely behind him, then brought it back again so quickly that to Peter it looked as if it had gone clear around. You see, Spooky's eyes are fixed in their sockets, and he cannot move them from side to side. He has to turn his whole head in order to see to one side or the other. "You haven't told me yet why you look so unhappy, Peter," said Spooky. "Isn't an empty stomach enough to make any fellow unhappy?" retorted Peter rather shortly. Spooky chuckled. "I've got an empty stomach myself, Peter," said he, "but it isn't making me unhappy. I have a feeling that somewhere there's a fat mouse waiting for me." Just then, Peter remembered what Jenny Wren had told him early in the spring of how Spooky the Screech Owl lives all the year around in a hollow tree, and curiosity made him forget, for the time being, that he was hungry. "Did you live in that hole all summer, Spooky?" he asked. Spooky nodded solemnly. "I've lived in the hollow summer and winter for 3 years," said he. Peter's eyes opened very wide. "Until now, I never even guessed it," he exclaimed. "Did you raise a family there?" "I certainly did," replied Spooky. "Mrs. Spooky and I raised a family of four as fine-looking youngsters as you have ever seen. They've gone out into the great world to make their own living now. Two were dressed just like me, and two were gray." "What's that?" exclaimed Peter. "I said that two were dressed just like me, and two were gray," replied Spooky rather sharply. "That's funny," Peter exclaimed. "What's funny?" snapped Spooky rather crossly. "Why, that all four were not dressed alike," said Peter. "There's nothing funny about it," retorted Spooky, and snapped his bill sharply with a little cracking sound. We screech owls believe in variety. Some of us are gray, and some of us are reddish-brown. It is a case of where you cannot tell a person just by the color of his clothes. Peter nodded as if he quite understood, although he couldn't understand it all. "I'm ever so pleased to find you living here," said he politely. "You see, in winter, the old orchard is rather a lonely place. I don't see how you get enough to eat when there are so few birds about." "Birds?" snapped Spooky. "What have birds to do with it?" "Why, don't you live on birds?" asked Peter innocently. "I should say not. I guess I would starve if I depended on birds for my daily food," retorted Spooky. "I catch a sparrow now and then, to be sure, but usually it is an English sparrow, and I consider that I am doing the old orchard a good turn every time I am lucky enough to catch one of the family of Bully the English Sparrow. But I live mostly on mice and shrews in winter and in summer. I eat a lot of grasshoppers and other insects. If it wasn't for me and my relatives, I guess mice would soon overrun the great world. Farmer Brown ought to be glad I've come to live in the old orchard, and I guess he is, for Farmer Brown's boy knows all about this house of mine and never disturbs me. Now, if you'll excuse me, I think I'll fly over to Farmer Brown's young orchard. I ought to find a fat mouse or two trying to get some of the bark from those young trees." "Ha!" exclaimed Peter. "They can try all they want to, but they won't get any, I can tell you that." Spooky's round yellow eyes twinkled. "It must be you have been trying to get some of that bark yourself," said he. Peter didn't say anything, but he looked guilty, and Spooky once more chuckled as he spread his wings and flew away so soundlessly that he seemed more like a drifting shadow than a bird. Then Peter started for a certain swamp he knew of where he would be sure to find enough bark to stay his appetite.
Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed. That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Fighting Moose Podcast. Please join us next time as we read another exciting story. Today's music was provided by the artist Analog by Nature, and the audio clips were provided from NASA. For more information to download and or listen to audio or materials from all our recordings, or to contact us, please visit www.thefightingmoose.com, or you can follow the links in the show notes. If you enjoy the podcast, please leave us a review wherever you get your podcast or on iTunes and tell a friend. Thank you for your patronage, and as always, try and do a random act of kindness every day.
Mission complete, Houston. After serving the world for over 30 years, the Space Shuttle turned